Hi, I'm Scott, and welcome to Episode 7, Series 1, Child in Time, a podcast about growing up in the 60s. Recently, I attended a school reunion, and I had a wonderful time sharing memories of that era that this very podcast is all about, and it was a truly great afternoon. But you know, it's funny sometimes, it's hard to move past a conflict you had with someone, even if it was all those decades ago. There was someone at the reunion, well, and I'm going to say this in public, Trevor, right on this podcast. You still are a stupid poo bum head. No returns. Okay, this time we're talking about the telephone, 1960s style. The phones then were large, heavy headsets and base made out of Bakelite. Phones were mostly found on a small table in the corridor or some common area in the house. There was often a chair because you weren't going very far. The length of the phone cord made sure of that. In our little house, the phone was very centrally located, so there was no privacy to speak of. Every year, huge phone books would appear on our doorstep. The white pages with residential numbers and the pink pages, the business directory. Each year, we would eagerly open the new edition to see Dad's name and our address in the phone book. Okay, so it wasn't that exciting. Our number was WX5373. By the mid-60s, the alphabetic codes were changed to numbers. Phones were available in a wide range of colours. There was black, ebony, dark, raven, midnight. No, they were all black. You could only have black. The PMG, or Postmaster General's Department, was the precursor to what is now Telstra. The PMG ran the phone work as a monopoly. It was their way or the highway when it came to getting a phone installed or having a line repaired. I was about 9 when we had a phone installed. It was still a minor status symbol. Often adults might ask, "Are you on the phone?" Meaning, "Do you have a phone?" Some did, some didn't. Many of our neighbours didn't have one. And sometimes our next door neighbour, Auntie Norma, would come and ask to use our phone. She was always holding out a sixpence or a 5 cent piece, post-1966, to pay for the call. As a footnote, we always called close neighbours Uncle and Auntie when we were kids, even though we were not related. Mum and Dad never refused anyone the use of our phone. The road outside our house could be a bit tricky, particularly at night, and there was a few motorists who knocked on our door after getting a flat tire or something. Typically, there would be a knock and a couple standing there, and the man might say something in an American accent. "I'm glad we caught you at home. Can we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry. We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry." Dad might reply, "Well, you got caught with a flat. Well, how about that? Well, babies, don't you panic." I think someone in my team has inserted lyrics from the Rocky Horror Picture Show into my script. Yeah. There will be repercussions for this. Outside the home, we knew where all the phone boxes were for miles around. We would always check the tray to see if some absent-minded adult had left 5 cents in the tray. Sometimes we might be delayed getting home and we would have to get to a booth to let Mum know we were safe and sound. The only problem was 5 cents was big money for us. And we either didn't have any money, or if we did, there was no way we were going to blow it all on something as fleeting and unrewarding as calling home. What to do? One tactic, and I can vouch that this kind of worked. From the booth, you could call a number without money. The call would connect, but the other party could not hear you unless you put 5 cents in the slot. The trick was to shout, and I do mean shout, as loud as you possibly could, into the earpiece of the handset. The listener could faintly hear you. We did this often. The calls would necessarily be very short. You would just scream when you would be home before your voice gave out. The other tactic was to have the call answered and immediately toggle the metal handset quickly up and down and get a clear connection for free. This was an advanced skill I never mastered, if it was possible at all. If you called home and there was no answer, we didn't have answering machines. It would just keep on ringing. If ringing while the phone was in use, you got the engaged signal, and the recipient was none the wiser that someone was trying to get through. Now, getting a phone on at our house led to some of the most frightening moments of my young childhood. Two houses down lived an older couple called the Deers. They were an English couple. Mrs. Deer was quite nice, but Alf Deer was a cranky old guy who worked on the docks as some sort of supervisor or foreman. They didn't have the phone on, and from time to time we'd get a phone call from the docks asking for Alf Deer. Somehow Mum or Dad said this was okay, and our home line was to be the dock workers' hotline to their boss, Alf. The big problem was the Deer's beloved dog, a medium-sized, mixed-breed black dog that went by the name of Tiny. Tiny was perhaps the most awful dog I've ever known and was relentlessly vicious. I watched in horror once when playing in the backyard next to the Deer's with my friend Eric. Tiny made its way through a hole in the paling fence and took a big bite out of Eric's leg and ran away. All the kids around our way were scared of Tiny. Alf had been confronted by adults about the fact that no child was safe when Tiny was on the prowl, but Alf insisted that Tiny was a lovely, placid animal and only reacted when relentlessly teased by the nasty children that lived nearby. Oh, yeah. One day, there was a call for Alf, and I was told by Mum to go down and tell the Deers that there was a call for Alf. I was maybe 10 years old. Now, Mum's request was a nightmare made real. Mum, I don't want to. I don't want to do it. Go on, Scotty. The man is waiting. I was scared. Go on, Scotty. She always called me Scotty. I took a few tentative steps towards the next door's lawn. I stopped and turned back to look at Mum. She waved me on. It's all right, Scotty. I'm watching. I thought, oh, great. Thanks, Mum. You'll be watching from a safe distance, 2 front yards away. What will you do when Tiny starts to feast on your eldest son? What will you do? Just say, Cooey, excuse me, would you please stop biting bits out of my son's leg? Thank you very much. Yeah, that will work. I got over the low picket fence and onto the door's lawn, and there was no sign of Tiny. Now the hard bit. Knocking on the door would surely awaken the beast. I knocked. Mrs. Deer answered. Mr. Deer, is one on the phone? I turned and walked quickly towards the fence, not bothering to wait for any reply. I just wanted to be out of there. It was then I heard a growl and snarly sound getting closer. Tiny had locked onto me and was bearing down. I sprinted to the low fence and launched myself over there head first and rolled onto the grass. I was safe. Tiny was too small and fat to scale the fence. I ran to safety and back to Mum, panting and shaking. My mother was a very caring, lovely mother. And her four sons were her raison d'être. But I will never know why we didn't have some sort of plan B when it came to being Alf Deer's answering service. As a child, phones were pretty much an adult thing. I'd be called to the phone to speak to a relative who had rang to wish me happy birthday and such. I would never think to ring a friend for a chat. I saw my friends at school and I could go around and see them or meet them in a park. When we left the house, we were free. All the phone booths have gone now, and hardly anyone uses a landline phone. Tiny is long gone, of course, and Mum passed away several years ago. But I still remember how we were told to answer that big old black phone when it rang. Hello, WX5373. Thanks for listening. Please tell one other person who you think might enjoy this podcast. You can contact me through my website, childintime.life, and we'll talk soon. Bye.